Welcome to the JX. I'm Mike Green. If you're the parent or grandparent of adolescent teens and young adults, like I am, pay close attention to this segment of the JX. We're discussing youth suicide prevention, and I can't imagine the level of gut-wrenching grief experienced by parents who lose a child under any conditions. But when young people take their own lives, they leave a trail of unanswered questions. Joining me today to answer some of those questions is Ebony Clark, the Behavioral Health Director at the Oregon Health Authority. Welcome, Ebony.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining me is Lupi Kroom. She is the Lead Prevention Coordinator at Klamath Tribal Health and Family Services from the Klamath Tribes. Welcome, Lupi. Do we have Lupi?
Hello?
Lupi, can you hear me? Well, we'll see if we can get Lupi back. Ebony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. The most recent data from the Oregon Health Authority is troubling. It shows that Oregon has the 12th highest youth suicide rate in the entire country, 16.9 per 100,000, compared to the national average of 14.2. And while that trend appears to be decreasing year over year among Oregon's white youth, it is increasing among its smallest populations, Black and Native American youth. So let's begin with a more general question, Ebony. Why do young people contemplate suicide at all?
You know, I think that there are a factor of variables that go into why a youth may contemplate suicide. You know, I think the fact of the matter is that the bottom line, a lot of times the feelings and the experiences of isolation, loneliness, and depression factored in with not having a natural support, an adult that they can seek guidance from. And then when you also couple that with then not having the opportunity to step into mental health or behavioral health services and support, you know, those are some of the key, you know, factors that play into that. And then, you know, again, we're in our post-pandemic era, and we know that the pandemic took a toll on our youth mental health, emotional, and social state. So
there's this feeling of isolation. Can you tell us more about the data and why there's such a racial disparity that show kids of color are trending higher in suicide rates? What's happening among those populations that we should be aware of?
Yeah, well, you know, what I'll say is that we're in the state of Oregon, and, you know, quite frankly, the state of Oregon is not one of the most diverse states. And so when we think about our youth of color and just the complexities that come with being a youth of color, especially in a predominantly white community and culture, you know, it lends itself to some of those issues specific to isolation. You know, suicide is complex, and there's not one reason or, you know, a textbook answer to why youth, you know, are choosing to take this in their lives. But, you know, again, we know that we have fewer mental health and behavioral health providers that support and provide culturally specific and responsive services. And then again, just with our history and the injustices of our history, and as we think about that specifically within Oregon, we do have ongoing issues of structural and institutional racism that do impact our youth of color. And, you know, that just adds more complex layers to, you know, the issues of hopelessness, depression, and isolation.
So youth of color are dealing with some additional challenges in the state. Lupi, what's happening on tribal lands that's contributing to an increase in youth suicides there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I feel like a lot of it has to do with the stigma and just the generational gap of not being able to talk about it. A lot of our elders that are still with us will still kind of pass that teaching on. We don't talk about that. We don't bring up the word suicide. So I feel like it's very present, but the ability to talk about it is, we're still breaking that barrier.
Loopy, what's being done to address the specific issues and conditions that the youth are experiencing on tribal lands that's leading to higher rates of mental anguish?
I think just the alcohol, the substance use, the not really having a lot of things to engage in, not a lot of healthy activity. Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm trying to find out what is happening on the tribal lands that's creating this these conditions where youth are at a higher rate looking toward ending their lives. What are the specific conditions that you believe are creating those circumstances or lending themselves toward those circumstances?
I think it's just the whole maybe family community dynamic of having a lack of support, whether that's environmentally impact, you don't have healthy activity, you have a lot of substance use in the family. You have to realize that on the tribal reservations or wherever it is that these tribal youth are, that they go through a lot more impactful things in their lives that they don't, their tendency to not be able to talk about them, whether it's domestic violence in the home, not having enough food to eat at the table, being subjected to a community that has high numbers or rates of suicide, so it's kind of just a taboo, I guess.
So these are kind of generational issues. There's this sense of isolation. There's generational and systemic poverty. How are the tribal leaders responding to all of this?
I feel like we're just trying to incorporate healthy activities within the tribal community as a whole, really reducing stigma and allowing everybody the opportunity to speak up. In the past few years, a lot of families have been impacted by suicide personally, so I feel like Tribal Council is taking it upon them to really highlight issues and bring them to the table for us to talk about, because, like I said, not a lot was talked about, and now we are talking about it.
Excellent. I'm talking with Ebony Clark from the Oregon Health Authority and Loopy Kroom from the Klamath Tribes. You can send your comments in by email to jx@jeffnet.org. Ebony, what are the steps that parents can take if they suspect their child is considering suicide?
Well, what I'll say is that education is key, and knowing that help is available 24/7 through our 988 and our youth line. I know we only have a short period of time, so what I'll say is if anyone in the community, if any parent, any educator, any loved one is concerned or knows a youth that is struggling or is in crisis, there's always help, and folks can call or text 988 or even chat online at 988lifeline.org. Also, there's specialized support that's available through the Veterans Crisis Line. If you press 1 or text 838-255, there's also a Spanish option if you press 2. And also, there are specialty services and supports for our LGBTQIA2S+ youth and young adults. And if you press 3, then, or you can press Pride to 988, then folks can kind of get connected to those specialty services.
So that's...
And I also want to just add that 988 is available for all individuals, and we also have that option for deaf or hard of hearing through the American Sign Language video phone services.
Excellent. So 988 is the general line that people can text or call.
Yes.
Well, what roles do you think drugs or narcotics and access to guns play in the youth suicide rate, if any?
Well, we know that when we think about, you know, why youth are choosing to take this path, we know that economics plays a key factor. We know that research shows that racial discrimination does have an impact on the prevalence of suicide. And so then while then folks and youth, young adults are experiencing those issues or those feelings of loneliness, isolation, hopelessness, and depression, unfortunately, you know, then some youth do turn to substance use as a way to self-medicate. And I know that you, what was the second part of that question? You asked about firearms?
Access to guns.
Yeah. Well, we know that, there's a lot of information and research out there in terms of what happens when youth, young adults, children have access to storage or access to firearms, and when firearms are not being safely stored, then that's a risk. We know that the data shows that we need to be focused, intentional, and serious about how we're storing firearms to decrease youth suicide. Just because, quite frankly, in Oregon, half of our youth suicides are a result of death by firearm. And in Oregon, that's about 80%.
Say that again. You said half?
Yes. So about half of our youth suicide deaths are by firearm, which speaks to the importance of safe storage.
And what was the other data point you mentioned, 80%?
80% of deaths from firearms are suicide deaths in Oregon.
Ebony, what are some of the symptoms that show a young person is contemplating ending their life?
Isolation, substance use, excessive sleeping, deviation from kind of normal patterns of life, depression, a declining in symptomology specific to depression. Also for youth and adolescents, sometimes signs can also look a little bit different, and you might not only see a youth who feels depressed, but all of a sudden impulsivity in terms of behavior. If all of a sudden, you know, you see your youth starting to talk about death, if all of a sudden you see your youth disinterested in their daily activities, if you see your youth starting to give away their items. Those are just a few. And then when we think about just, again, some of the other contributing factors, you know, depending on family dynamics and, you know, if youth, in addition to their own mental health, if they have guardians or loved ones that also might be struggling, that can also play into a youth considering.
I appreciate that. Loopy, we have a little bit of time left. What are some of the support services for families and youth of tribal nations to help prevent suicide attempts? We're running out of time. We've got just a few seconds left. What are some of the support services?
There's getting them connected to cultural activities. We have YFGC prevention program. We do a lot of work in the community.
Okay, well, thank you both for your insights on this important issue. Really appreciate it. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green, and we'll be right back.